It's lovely to see. Where's Brenda Newman? Give me a wave, Brenda. Where are you sitting? Lovely to see Brenda Newman with us tonight. She's been poorly for quite a while, and it's her first time back in Asia. So it's great to have you with us, Brenda. It's really good. Len's life was wonderfully turned around when he started following Christ. He stopped visiting the massage parlors. He stopped treating the women in his life like dirt. And he gave up the drugs. A few years on, though, his Christian growth seemed to have plateaued. Everything looked okay on the surface. But he had a continual need to prove himself. If you hung around with him, there was that sense that he was always trying to push himself forward. He had a short temper. And those who knew him well knew that he was always irritable, always complaining. Jan's baptism was one of those high moments for the church. Loads of people came, cried during her testimony. But now, a few months on, well, she's coming to church on and off, more off than on. She can be quite racist. It's always jokey. But she's racist, she's homophobic. She'll crack dirty jokes. And she's drinking more. What would you say to Len and Jan? How would you encourage them? How would you help them? Do you think there's hope for them? Hope that they can change? For 4 weeks now, we're looking at what does it mean to live for Jesus in the everyday? Camps have gone. Summer's... this sounds rather depressing. Summer's over. It's going to start getting cold. School and university are about to begin. And we're thrust back into the everyday, aren't we? The humdrum ordinariness of life. So what does it mean to be a follower of Jesus right there? Last week we thought about up. We thought about our relationship with God. If we're to bear fruit, we're to remain in Christ, we learned from John 15. This week we're thinking about in how following Jesus changes us, what it looks like, and how it comes about. So why don't we turn to God's Word? Dave's going to come and read to us just a short section from Romans chapter 13. Thanks.
So the reading is Romans 13, 11 to 14. If you've got the large print Bible, that's on page 1690. And if you've got the regular print Bible, that's page 1076. It's Romans 13, 11 to 14. And it is also up on the screen. And do this, understanding the present time. The hour has already come for you to wake from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The night is nearly over. The day is almost here. So let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us behave decently as in the daytime, not in carousing and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and debauchery, not in dissension and jealousy. Rather, clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ, and do not think about how to gratify the desires of the sinful nature.
Thanks, Dave, very much indeed. Now, look, we've got to be very careful, because if we're not, then a passage like this can just become, stop it. All I'll end up saying all night is, look, just stop it. And that's not going to help Len, it's not going to help Jan, it's not going to help any of us, is it? Because if it did, we'd have stopped it long ago. No, we need to hear these words in the context of the book. Back in Romans 6, by the way, do yourself a real favour tonight, before you go to bed, read Romans 6, you won't regret it. Paul asks an important question. He says this, should we go on sinning, he says, now that we've become a Christian? And then he answers his own question. By no means, he says. Why not? Because when we started to follow Christ, we died to sin once and for all. The life we now live, he says, we live for God. And the chapter ends like this. Sin shall no longer be your master, because you're not under law. You're under grace. See, Christ has come. And through his grace, he's rescued all Christians from the power of sin. Wonderful, isn't it? So why do I keep on sinning? Why do you keep on sinning? Let's just have a look at our passage. Three simple things that we're told. The first is this. We need a sense of urgency. We need a sense of urgency. Have you ever had that experience when you thought you could just sleep in? It's one of those mornings, you know, there's nothing on this morning. I've got no lessons, no classes. I'm off work, and you're just snuggling into the duvet, all relaxed, when all of a sudden you realize, hang on, no, wait a minute, it's Tuesday, no, oh my goodness, you grab your diary, you look at it, I've got a class in half an hour. Your parents are banging on the door, wake up, you're late, what's going on? You look at your clock, and you just go, no. Suddenly, everything changes, doesn't it? You're no longer snuggling under your duvet, relaxed. You're throwing on your clothes. The adrenaline's kicked in. You're out the front door. You're sprinting for the bus. Well, that's what Paul's saying here. It's so easy to live every day for ourselves, for our advancement, for our enjoyment. We can live as if, oh, sin's no big deal. We can cozy up to it, thinking it doesn't really matter. That everything will be okay. But he says, no, wake up. Know the time. He says, our salvation. Do you notice this? Our salvation is nearer to us now. Today is the 28th of August, 2016. We are one day nearer to the return of Jesus Christ. I don't know what sort of a summer you've had, what sort of a day it's been for you, but no matter how bad it's been, you can say, I am one day closer to seeing Jesus. So you're living a life that's reflecting that reality. Or are you asleep? See, the problem is, if you're young, you probably tuned out about 40 seconds ago, because you think you have all the time in the world. Your life just stretches in front of you. Years and years and years. Not like Andy Upson. He hasn't got long, you think. I've got ages. And then somebody at school or university, somebody your age, maybe a year or two older, has an accident and they die. And in that moment, the reality sinks in. Death saying to you, wake up. Look, please, don't be one of those who's surprised by death. Wake up now. Stop hitting the snooze button. Stop ignoring the voice of God. Shake yourself awake. Rouse yourself. Get the adrenaline going. Look, if you did that, what would that look like in the ordinary? Well, what if we read the Word of God with the same obsession that we check Facebook or Twitter? Just letting our eyes or our mind constantly just pop back to a verse in the Bible during the day. Just to remind ourselves of it, to ponder it, to pray over it, just quickly. Or what about meeting on a Sunday with other Christians, like we're doing now, with the same sense of excitement I might have as if that new movie had just come out. You know, you stay up to midnight. Oh, don't worry about tomorrow, I'll be all right. It doesn't matter, I just need 4 hours sleep, that'll do. Wouldn't it be great if the Spirit gave us the same passion for meeting with one another, for hearing God's word? Or what if we became those who hated sin with the same hatred that we have when we look stupid in front of our friends? Don't you hate that? You do something clumsy, something foolish. Everybody laughs at you. They've kind of doubled over. You're the joke. We hate that, don't we? Well, imagine if we had that same hatred of sin. That's what it would look like if we had that sense of urgency. We need a sense of urgency. Secondly, we need to starve our sinful nature. Just have a look at verse 13. Let us behave decently as in the daytime, not in carousing and drunkenness, not in debauchery, not in dissension and jealousy. Right there, you've got the plot line for every teenage movie, every soap opera that's ever been written. But that's what your life's like, isn't it? That's the kind of temptations that come at you. Living with a lack of self-control in the areas of drink and sex and social relationships. That's your ordinary life. But how do I fight that? Well, verse 14 is a key verse. It says, rather clothe yourself with the Lord Jesus. We'll come to that in a minute. And do not think about how to gratify the desires of the sinful nature. Another version says, make no provision for the sinful nature. Making provision. It's like when you're at camp and you go out for the day and, I don't know, do you still do this? You have to pack a lunch for yourself. Do you do that? Yeah. You pack a lunch for yourself, you know, you put in all the goodies that you want, all the good stuff that's going to keep you going after you come off Oblivion. Well, don't make provision, Paul says. Don't pack a lunch for your sinful nature. Don't do anything that will make it stronger. Now, look, it's worth just pausing and thinking about what the sinful nature is and what the Christian's relationship to it is. That's very strange, isn't it? What is this sinful nature? Josh Harris has done a series of cartoons that explains just this. If you want to see it done properly, look it up on YouTube sometime, but his cartoons are on the web, and I've just pinched them. They are a little bit. You will look at these and think, how childish. But bear with me. They're really good, okay? He's a pastor. He's not an artist. So, you know, cut him a break. I couldn't do this good. The first cartoon is, it's you, actually. Sorry if you're a lady, but it's you. We're humans. We're made in the image of God. But we're rather puny and weak on our own, aren't we? It's what Steve was saying earlier. And then this is the sinful nature. He looks like a weird Pokemon, but he represents the sinful nature. Now, there's a slight problem here because in this diagram, he's shown outside of us, but he's not. He's part of us. The part of us that is constantly warring against what God wants, who loves to go his own way, to do his own thing, and to disobey God. And before we became a Christian, we all related to the sinful nature in this way. He was the boss. He ruled us so that even the good things we did were stained by sin and selfishness. But if we trust in Jesus, this is what happens. You see, because Jesus died on the cross and because he rose again, we have been freed from the power of the sinful nature. He no longer dominates us. He's no longer our boss. You see that the chain's broken. But this is important. Because if we stop just there, that's not reality. That's not your life. That's not my life. No. Because our sinful nature doesn't disappear. He doesn't go away. This side of heaven, he'll always be with us, always lurking around, always trying to entice us away from God. He has no power over us, but he can tempt us. And he's very good at it. So we have a choice. We can either give in to him. Actually, more than that, as it says here, we can make provision for our sinful nature. We can feed our sinful nature. We can choose to live like we used to, giving in to temptation, giving in to sinful thoughts, spending time with people who are going to lead us away from God. going to places that celebrate sin. And if we do that, it's like this picture. It's like giving our sinful nature 3 slap-up meals every day, complete with snacks and chocolate whenever he wants it. And if we do that, there is a result. And that is the result. See, over time, as we feed our sinful nature, he grows. He gets bigger. And before we know it, he's pushing us around. And that explains why, well, it explains actually our experience so often. It's why genuine, born-again Christians who have been freed by Jesus Christ, who are no longer wearing the chains of sin, can feel like nothing's happened. I'm just like I always was. Because we've fed the sinful nature. And now he bullies us. That's one possibility. That's one choice. The other is this, to do what Paul says right here in Romans 13, to starve the sinful nature. Now, we can't do that on our own, but with the help of the Holy Spirit, we can choose every day to fight him. And that's not an equal battle, because the Holy Spirit is so much more powerful, so much stronger, but we have to ask him for help, and then we have to act on it. We have to do something. We have to put it to death. That's kind of the PG-rated cartoon, I think. There should be a sword there, shouldn't there? And if we do that, then after a while, this is what the sinful nature begins to look like. Gaunt and feeble. Remember, we can never be free of it until Jesus returns. He will always be there. And even a wimpy sinful nature can trip us up. But if with God's help we starve it, constantly putting it to death, then it's much simpler to resist temptation and walk in obedience. So the key question is this. Are you fighting old sinful desires, or are you feeding them? You fighting or feeding? Perhaps as we've been talking through this, a specific thing has come to mind. The Spirit has put his finger on an area of your life, a temptation where you just give in again and again and again, where you're bullied by the sinful nature. Can I ask you to do something about that tonight? To cry out to God for help. He's only too willing to give it. To talk to somebody around. Say, look, I'm in this mess. This is me. And then to act on that. To do whatever it takes to put the sinful nature to death. Will you do that tonight? And finally, we need to put on Christ. See, throughout this passage, we've been instructed not just to put off sin, but to put on what is good. Growing in godliness is not just what you do not do, it's positive. Look at verse 12. Let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Put on the armor of light. Verse 14, clothe ourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ. We're to put on a life of holiness, a life that's set apart to God. If you think about clothing, it often defines you, doesn't it? You dress, for example, a number of people will be dressing for a job on Tuesday. Some of you are going to have to put a school uniform on Tuesday morning. Or perhaps you dress for your sports. You put on football boots or a swimming costume or cricket pads. Maybe your job demands a uniform. You're a nurse or you're a police officer. When you do that, what are you doing? Well, you're identifying either with a particular job or profession or a sport or a school. It shows who you are, doesn't it? The Christian life is about identifying with Jesus. Saying, I am with Jesus Christ, the righteous one, the one who saved me, the one who died for me, the one who raised me, the one who's given me his Spirit. It's saying, I want to be like him. So just as you might put on those clothes every day, we need to relive this truth every day, the truth of who he is. We need to speak the gospel to ourselves again and again. Well, how do we do that? Well, sometime this week, you're going to feel rather small and puny, rather weak and pathetic. And I want to ask you in that moment, just stop and clothe yourself with Christ. Remind yourself that you are strong in the Lord and his mighty power. Sing some of the songs we were singing at the start of the service. Maybe you'll be tempted to feel condemned because of the ways that you have failed. Well, again, just pause, clothe yourself with Christ. Bring to mind the fact that he's become sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God. He's done that. Get somebody else to remind you of it. When we're out for the night and tempted to conform and fit in and behave like everyone else, then again, just pause, clothe yourself with Christ, remind yourself, hang on, who am I? I'm his handiwork. I'm his masterpiece. I have been created in Christ Jesus to do good works. When you start to puff up and feel rather pleased with yourself, rather proud of yourself, then clothe yourself with Christ. Remind yourself, apart from him, you can do nothing. Do you see, there's hope for people like Len and Jan that we started with. Christ has freed them from the power of sin. But they need to seize the moment. They need to know what time it is to take this seriously. They need to starve the sinful nature, to put on Christ. What about you? What are you going to do? Are you going to snuggle under the duvet and let tonight wash over you? Or are you going to jump up, spring into action, do something about it? Because you know what time it is. Look, a great thing to do would be to talk to maybe one of your friends after. Maybe that's not the kind of the culture with your friends. Well, why don't you be the one to change it? Remember the time. Why not ask them to hold you accountable? Want to come and talk to somebody at the front? Hey, we'd love to pray with you. Or if that's a little bit scary, just fill in a prayer card. Drop it in the box at the back and we'll pray for you this week. But whatever you do, remember this. The night is nearly over. The day is almost here. So let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let's pray together. Father, I guess each one of us would want to confess straight away that we have not been the men or women that you would have us be. We've not acted in line with our uniform. And we want to say how sorry we are. Father, we want to do more than that. We want to repent of that. Help us. Help us to seize the moment tonight to make whatever changes we need to make. Maybe to talk to someone else who will hold us to what we have thought and to what you have shown us. And Father, we ask that you would help us as the people of Knighton Free Church to be those who act in line with who we are. Father, please help us to put that sinful nature to death, to starve it, to do nothing today, this week, that would feed it and cause it to grow. And Father, would you help us to put on Christ, to put him on every day, every hour, every minute, to delight in the good news of Jesus and what it means for us, and to live for him wherever you called us to be. Father, we ask it in his name. Amen.